I'm an immigrant. We came over to the United States in 1992. My mom told me that we were going to go to Disneyland, and we just never went home. That was how my family came over. My dad came over here and got a job. My mom and I came over to see Mickey. And then my older brother came a little bit later after us. We were undocumented. You know, we overstayed tourist visas, so we didn't have any access to any kind of institutional support when we got here. Didn't have social security numbers, didn't really have a path to citizenship until much later on. And so that can really complicate things, like getting a job or going to school or getting groceries is really complicated. And that was how we started our lives here in the United States. Our very first apartment was up at Broad and Olney, and it's the second to the last stop on the Broad Street line, right across the street from the Olney bus terminal. That really oriented my family to a very specific geographic life. We lived on Broad Street. That was our lifeline. And we took the Broad Street line to school, to work. We walked up Broad Street to go shopping at the Thriftway. We did not have a car. It's a really poppin' part of town. There's a lot of traffic, foot traffic, bus traffic, cars. And so my parents wanted to move us away from there, and so we wound up moving to Somerville. It moved us two blocks away from Broad Street, just far enough to make it complicated for us to maintain these patterns that we'd started. And so we started going to this grocery store right on Front and Olney. That was how we would spend our Sundays. We would, you know, go to church, and then we would have lunch at the Burger King, and then we would go to Caldor, and then my brother and I would go to Funko Land, and then we would wrap up the day by going to the supermarket. So when we got to the ShopRite, my family would just throw half of the supermarket into the cart. Corned beef, Spam, bread, milk, cheese. And so that was dope, buying all of this stuff, and then we'd have to go home. And that's when it got a little complicated. Walking that mile and a half back to our house, now with $100 worth of groceries, to get that back to where we lived was a struggle. And the complicated thing isn't really the walk, it's that what it signified. Because when we got home, we still had homework to do, we still had dinner to cook, we still had laundry to fold, uniforms to iron, all of this stuff on top of this belabored walk. And you might ask yourself, why didn't you guys just get a car? And one, we couldn't afford it. And the second thing was that it was really hard for us to figure out, how do you get a license? How do you get car insurance? And maybe if we'd have been able to plug into an existing community of folks, we could have figured that out. But we didn't do that. So we had to figure it out on our own. And we were just too busy trying to live. And so we did that walk until one day, this elderly gentleman comes up and he says, do you guys need a hack ride? And my mom says, ano sinasabi niya? And so what she was asking is, what's he saying? And I said, told my mom, I think he's trying to offer us a ride. My dad started talking to this gentleman and found out his name was William. And he offered hacks on the weekends as a way of making extra income. And they negotiated a price, $5, to give my family and our groceries a ride back to the crib. What it did was it opened up the rest of that day for my family. And so for the next 2 or 3 years, William became an intrinsic part of our experience here in the United States. I don't know if he ever knew that. Whenever there were any job interviews, any doctor's appointments, any government appointments where we didn't know how to get somewhere, William was there. And that was a good look, because being undocumented in this country is very isolating. It's very marginalizing. It's like you're on a lifeboat. You know that there's a shore out there you're trying to get to. And so you gotta push yourself, you gotta push your crewmates to try and make it to that shore. If you do it on your own, those boats don't usually make it. The ones that do are the ones who find these little lifelines. People who cross boundaries, either willingly or unknowingly, to give us a hand. William was one of those people. I'd hope that he understood and knew how much he meant to us and how much he meant to me. And I'm really happy that I got a chance to share his story with y'all today.